This is PhotoBizX episode number 185, and today's special guest is a wedding photographer who 100% believes you should be competing on price. Obviously, that is only part of the story. I'm talking about Ricky Stern, and that interview is coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. You're going to need your seatbelts on for today's interview with Ricky Stern. It is full on. Well, I should say he is full on. He's a real powerhouse, this guy. A little bit different to the usual guest that I have on the show, but it's a lot of fun, so I'm looking forward to bringing it to you in just a minute. In regard to my week and what's been happening at Impact Images, I've run a new ad on Facebook for engaged couples. I've talked a fair bit about this in the past, and it all relates back to episode 162 and 164 with Bernie Griffiths and the Facebook ad challenge episodes. I've had an amazing response again this time, lots of questionnaires filled out. I'm finding a lot of the couples that are responding are having their weddings too far away. I don't know if that's because of my targeting. I have been targeting specifically couples that have only been engaged for 3 months or less. So that could be an issue. I'm going to experiment with that. In saying that, I do have a good number of couples that do fit exactly what I'm looking for. They're getting married on dates, or they've set dates that I have free, and they're getting married in 2017, which is fantastic. Anything further than that, I thought was a little bit too far. So instead, they're going to receive an email with a special offer if they go ahead and book me for their wedding photographer, or Impact Images for their wedding photography, which include extra album pages and a free engagement shoot. If you'd like a copy of that exact letter that I do send out, just hit me up in the comments area for today's show notes over at photobizx.com/185. Or if you're a premium member, just ask in the members Facebook group and I'll get that over to you there. One thing I have tried with my ad this time round when I'm looking for engaged couples is I've used all black and white photography. I've used quite grainy images, and that's a style that I want to pursue myself with my photography. So I'm really making a push to showing that's exactly what they're going to be getting, not only for their engagement photography, but planting the seed that that's the style that I'll be shooting in for their wedding as well. And I did talk about this in the past. I think these ads are a great way to bring new clients to your business if you want to change direction with your photography. If you want to shoot in a different style, try something new. And it doesn't have to be just the style you're shooting in. It could be the whole genre. I mean, if you want to attract day-in-the-life clients, or you want to attract more newborn clients, well, parents of newborns, and you don't normally shoot in that genre, then these Facebook ads are a perfect way to try something new and get sales at the same time. Now, in last week's interview with Mark Rossetto, the business and life coach, he may not agree with that approach. His feeling was, if you're going to run an ad or some kind of a promotion to build your portfolio, then that's exactly what that promotion should be. Just focus on portfolio building and don't try and get sales as some sort of sneaky way after the shoot. And look, I do agree with that. My approach is a little bit different. I don't make it sneaky at all. That's one of the first things I talk about when I book in the couple for the engagement shoot. I ask, as Bernie suggested, if they'd like the opportunity to purchase more prints after the shoot. If they say yes, and they always do, that's an open doorway for me to talk about pricing, products, how the sales session works. So they know exactly what to expect after the shoot in addition to their free print. Now, if they're only interested in the free print, then I'm well within my rights to let them know that I'm still looking for the right people to shoot for this promotion. If I am looking to get sales as well, which I am with my engagement sessions, and the couples that are simply looking for a free shoot and a free print probably won't be qualifying for the free engagement session that I'm offering, unless they have something special about their wedding day. You know, it could be at a location that I really want to shoot at. It could be in a style that I don't usually shoot and I really want to attract more clients like that. It could be a midweek wedding, or it could be a wedding in winter. So there is room for me to move if I want to treat this couple to a free shoot with the hope of booking the wedding later down the track. But my focus, and I don't hide that fact, is to make sales and book weddings as well, all with the one promotion. So I'll let you know how that's going as I get through it. If you've been listening for a while, you know that last time I ran this style of promotion, I had a great response. I booked 8 shoots even though I promised 5 in the ad, and ended up booking 6 weddings from those 8 shoots. So it was a fantastic response, a great success, the way that I look at it. And of the 8 shoots that I did, I'm going from memory here now, but there were sales, I think, from all but one. Only one couple took their free print only. I'm only guessing now, even that couple might have got something extra, something small. So all in all, it was definitely a success, and that's why I'm happy to give it another go. But I am going to try and mess around with my targeting and maybe open that up a little and target couples that have been engaged for longer, or maybe put no time limit on it. And I'm guessing if you had been listening to the podcast for a while and you are familiar with this strategy, this technique, there's a good chance you've tried something similar. If you've had success with it, or if you've got some tips to offer me, I am all ears, because if I can improve my conversions, if I can attract better clients or better prospective wedding clients, then I'm all ears. So let me know. Again, use the comments area for the show notes or get in touch via email. It's andrew@photobizx.com. And let me know your tips and tricks if you've got them. And if you're happy to share them, like I said, put them in the comments area so that we can all learn.
And now, a macro look at our last episode.
In the last interview, I talked to Mark Rizzetto, the business and life coach. I did mention him earlier. What I love about the interview with Mark is that he goes into coaching with a terrific track record. You know, having run a studio where they were shooting over 500 sessions per year and over 20 weddings as well, it's just phenomenal. To be able to get into the mind of a photographer that's run a business like that is just fantastic. And to be able to use them as a coach, even better. Some great takeaways for me in that interview. I think the biggest one was the fact that, you know, really we are in a pretty unique and special situation, and we can make our businesses fit around the lifestyle that we want. I'm hearing more and more from photographers that don't want to be working weekends, that don't want to be shooting weddings, but they still love photography and they want to make that their income earner or income generator. And that's a possibility. You know, if you can sit down with Mark and your partner or your family and map out the hours that you do want to be working, find the right type of clients that you can attract to work those hours and build the business around that. I mean, it sounds so obvious when Mark was saying it, but it's really is cool. I mean, if there really is longevity in the career as a photographer, if you want to have one, and there's definitely opportunity to branch out and adapt and change our businesses to suit our lifestyles as, you know, we have kids or kids grow up and leave. If you decide you want to work weekends or you don't want to work weekends, you know, it's all so flexible. We can make it work around us. And Mark really drove that home, along with a whole lot of other stuff. Portrait parties are a whole other thing. I won't get started on that now. I'm not sure if they are for me. I love the idea. First time I've ever heard of them. Yeah, if you heard that part of the episode, if you are a premium member, if portrait parties are something that you would try, I'd love to hear about that as well.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
Alrighty, we're going to jump into this interview with Ricky Stern. This is full on, so get ready for this one. If you are listening to the free podcast, I do save half the interview for premium members only. So you will only hear half the interview today with Ricky. Now, I've got a good feeling you're going to want to hear the rest of it, because his style, his opinions, and the way he runs his business is different to anyone else that I've had on the show before. And it may just be what you need to hear to improve your business. So if that's you, head over to photobizx.com/try. And for $1, you can sign up, grab a 30-day premium trial, check out the full interview with Ricky, get access to the full back catalog, and get all the benefits of being a full premium member for the next 30 days. All that for $1. And when I say all the benefits, it means you'll get a premium URL to get the premium versions of the interviews every single week for the next 4 weeks. They'll come down automatically to your podcast app or however you like to listen to podcasts. You'll get an invitation to the Premium Members Facebook group, which is the best group of photographers I've ever had the pleasure of dealing with on the internet. It really is a cool bunch. We share anything and everything about our businesses. There's no fluff that goes on in that group. It really is all business. You know, we're not promoting each other's businesses. We're not flogging stuff. We're not pushing things that other members don't want to hear about. It's just business and business-related content. If that sounds attractive to you, sign up for the $1 trial. Check all that out. See if it's a good fit. If it is, stay on and be a premium member. I'd love to have you part of the group. It does go to $20 per month, but I know that you'll find the value is 100% there. And there's no contracts. You're not locked in for any certain amount of time. You can cancel anytime you like. It's all very relaxed. And, you know, really, if you don't find it's worth the investment, I don't want you as a member. It's got to be good for you, And if it isn't, you can let me know and I can try and make some changes, or you just hop out. You know, it's as simple as that. So it's no pressure. It's just all good stuff.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Ricky Stern is a Miami-based international wedding photographer. He started exploring his talent for photography when his daughters were born, and I get the impression from his website and online reviews that he's a fun, great photographer, and his clients love him. Now, the reason I got in touch to ask for an interview with Ricky is because of an email that I got from a listener, Frank Gomez, and he writes, "I'd like to suggest you interview Miami photographer Ricky Stern. He's an attorney who quit his law practice to go full-time as a wedding photographer and seems to be making a success of it. Mr. Stern is a very loud, funny, and an opinionated character. Check out his website. He's talented." That was enough to get my interest piqued, and I'm happy to have him with me right now. Ricky, welcome. Hello, Ricky. Are you there, Ricky? Hello.
Ricky. That was bad.
Did you get the intro at all?
I got all the way through. I mean, it was a rosy introduction. I was enjoying it very much. I got all the way through to where Frank, whatever, said that I was the greatest thing ever. Until like the end of his email. Go check out his website. He's very talented. That's what the last thing I heard.
That's it. All right. I'm going to keep the recording going and I'll just cut out the pauses.
I'm sorry. I don't know. Was that you or me? I don't even know what happened.
I don't know. I've got no idea, but we're still going. I don't think I clicked anything.
I hope it doesn't happen. If it doesn't, I don't want this interview to get shot. I'm having too much fun. Anyway, let's try it again.
Mate, I'm good. I'm happy with the intro. I know that I love you already.
Thank you.
Mate, tell me, is that right? You used to be a lawyer, a solicitor.
Wait, I'm so confused. Are we currently recording?
You betcha. We're going.
Okay. All right. That's Ricky Stern style for you. That's how I do weddings, by the way. I just walk in and say, wait, are we actually currently getting married? And they say, yes. And I say, okay, I'll take pictures. That sounds good. What was the question? I'm so sorry.
Frank said in his email that you used to be a lawyer.
Yes, that is correct.
So why give that up to become a photographer?
I actually did not give it. Well, here's the story. When I was in college, I was an English major. And when you're an English major, you graduate and you generally go to law school because you literally don't know what else to do. Like, you have no idea what to do with yourself. So you go to law school. It's what I did. And then when I graduated law school, I knew that all I wanted to do was try cases. I wanted to have cases and be in front of juries and talk and present and, you know, the whole deal. I wanted to be like a real lawyer. So I went and I worked for the state attorney's office as a prosecutor. I did that for 3 years. And then after I was done with prosecuting, I just had enough. I moved out to Vegas to become a professional poker player, which I did for a year. And then I got engaged. So that was the end of that. So we came back to Miami. And then what I was doing then was criminal defense work. And I was also doing personal injury in the field of maritime law, whereas where people on cruise ships would get injured, I would sue the cruise ship companies, etc. But the problem with doing criminal defense work is that the criminals will give you your initial retainer, but then they will not give you a dime above that, because no matter win or lose the case, they don't care. They're criminals. They tell you to go F yourself with the rest of the money. So it's no way to make a living. So what ended up happening was that when I went on my honeymoon, my mother bought me a 40D, a Canon 40D, and I bought myself a 50 1.4, a 17-40 F4, and a 135 F2, and a macro. I kind of went crazy. I bought it 100 macro 2.8 as well. I went on the honeymoon. Like, the oldest people you can possibly imagine were on my honeymoon cruise. It was like, listen to this. This is great. You're going to love this. On the cruise, they had seminars every day. You know, usually at the seminars, they teach you all kinds of different things. They had two seminars. One was about arthritis, and the second one was about how to break it to your children that they are ruining your grandchildren. Presented by like a PhD in the field of child psychology, you know? And so we didn't have anything to do. So all we did was walk. We played cribbage. We watched the entire series of Battlestar Galactica. And we walked around the cruise ship and took pictures of each other, just being goofballs. And like, I started to realize that if you took certain pictures in certain ways or with certain light doing certain things, they tended to look better. So that was the first time I started to think about it. And then from there, I had kids. And when you have kids, all you do is take pictures of them 24/7, which I did. And in that process, I taught myself how to be a newborn photographer. Shall I keep talking or did you want to introduce?
Yeah, no, Kika, this is interesting. It's great.
No, I didn't know if you wanted to say anything on your own show. I can do this for an hour. It's great.
So you started photographing your own kids, and what did you realize then? Okay, there's a potential for a business here, or did your wife tell you that?
No, nobody told me that. When I first started, nobody was hinting to me that I should look into professional photography. It was like, oh, that's so nice that you have a hobby. I was like, yeah, it's great. You know, I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I was on Flickr on the message boards, like hanging on the words of terrible photographers, people who like I thought were incredible, but were terrible. But I was like that much more worse, you know. But all I knew was that I had the stuff in my hands that they had in their hands. So I did not understand how I could have the exact same camera and the exact same lens and their pictures were so much better. It didn't make sense to me because we live in the same physical plane. So there had to be possible for me to do the same thing that they were doing. I just didn't know what I was doing. So what I did was I was hardcore on the Flickr message boards. I read them all the time. And they taught me enough that I could walk into weddings and like be the jerk that was shooting behind the scenes and like trying to see what they could do with the camera. And onwards and upwards and upwards until eventually my father was like, you should take pictures of people for money. Just like that, right? And I was like, but I'm a lawyer. I was like, I have to, like, I went to law school. I felt like a jerk. I felt like a jerk, like throwing it all away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, look at me. I went to law school. I have a barely, you know, surviving law practice. Like, it is surviving, but it is barely surviving. I'm like, I am a somewhat contributing member to society. And I feel like a total dick for taking my law school education and flushing it down a toilet. But I guess my father, who is a very wise and kind person, saw in me something that I also saw. And I will tell you what that is, Andrew, from Australia. I will tell you what that
is. Tell me.
Downstairs at the courthouse, there's a cafeteria. It's called Au Bon Pain, right? That's French for good bread. I'm a very worldly person, so I just like to say something. For everybody out there, I'm not really this much of a jerk. I act this way. So anyway. So you go to the cafeteria every day as the lawyer. You walk in, you walk through the door, you get security clear, you go in and you sit in Au Bon Pain and you have your terrible coffee and like your terrible little egg, you know? And you look around and there's the same people who you see literally every day. And they're all 65, 75 years old. And they are beaten down and angry and they cannot believe that something happened in their life that they are still downstairs in a windowless building eating bad eggs and bitter coffee.
So you saw your future.
It was clear as can be. The trajectory, it was undeniable, okay? So I said, I have to find in myself a talent that will allow me to not be the person that I'm looking at during breakfast every day. I have to not be that guy, you know? But it was scary because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to get out. Like, how do you go that far in your career? I mean, I was trying rapes. I was trying attempted murders. Like, these are things that are a big deal.
Hang on. When you say you were trying them, you were representing those people or you were giving rape a try yourself?
Well, when I was a prosecutor, I did prosecute rapists and I did prosecute, you know, I never got to murder because I was frankly not really interested. But the best part of being a lawyer is when you are trying ridiculous cases, like when people are breaking ridiculous laws because you can get in front of a jury and just act like an idiot and they love it. I loved the best DUIs to try were DUIs with no evidence whatsoever. It's called a double refusal. They refuse to do the roadside examinations and they refuse to do the breathalyzer test. So you have a double refusal. So how do you win that case, right? So there's something called consciousness of guilt. And when I learned that you could argue consciousness of guilt in a court of law, I was like sold. I was like, okay, beautiful. So you say, because you can't comment on a defendant's right to silence. If the defendant does not say anything and I as a prosecutor say, folks, he's not saying anything, then I lose the case. It's over because it's a constitutionally protected right. But what you can argue is to say, you can say on the day of, you know, of Mr. Stern's arrest, he refused to cooperate with the officers on simple roadside examinations and he refused to blow into the machine. Now, what are the reasons that somebody would do this? Think about what the simplest possible solution is. He was drunk as a skunk and he didn't want to give you, the jury, the evidence that you need to convict him. Do not let him get away with this, folks. Like that. And boom, convict him every time. And the guy say, you point right in his face, you go, this predator to society right here. And then on the other side, when I was a defense attorney, I was like, I represented some extremely sick and problematic individuals. They were very bad people. They were bad to the core, you know? And they were really, truly bad. I don't even want to talk about their crimes because I'm sure like the photography world is filled with very sensitive people who like do not want to be bothered by the ills of the world. I was in the room with them having them spill their guts to me. So I know exactly what was going on in their sick and depraved minds. That being said, they paid me very poorly. And so they got what they deserved.
So you had to get out.
No, they got what they deserved. They got the representation they deserved. I was that good.
What happens when a bride pays you poorly?
I'm not there yet, buddy. We haven't reached that point in my life yet. You're on my train now, all right?
Okay, take me there. Take me there.
We're going to ride, baby. So check this out. So everybody always just tell me, so how can you represent guilty people, right? How do you represent guilty people? I say, you have no problem representing guilty people. And the reason is that whatever happens, happens, baby. Because if you did it, you did it. If you get found guilty, what should have actually occurred has occurred. And if I get you off, all the better, right? What you'd never want to do is represent an innocent person because the pressure would kill you. You'd be up all night. I wouldn't be able to stomach it. Now, to segue nicely into the topic that your show is actually about, when people ask me if wedding photography is a lot of pressure, I say wedding photography is literally 0% pressure. There is no amount of pressure that you can feel taking a picture that equates to somebody's life literally resting in your hands. So it's no problem for me.
When you make that analogy, it makes sense. And I'm like, okay, yep, that's true. But really, at the end of the day, to that bride or even that couple, that is the end of the world if you stuff up their pictures.
Well, first of all, they hired Ricky Stern, so there's literally no chance that anybody stuffs up their pictures. That possibility has been erased the moment they put the deposit down with me, number one. Second, if that bride is that psychotic, she will not hire me as her photographer because I'll tell her to hit the road at the meeting, which I do all the time. If a bride strikes me as a person who is going to refuse to allow herself to have fun on her wedding day, then she's going to hate my guts. So it's like, don't hire me. Like, do not, you're not going to hate my guts.
All right, that's awesome. Right, I want to get into the marketing and how you built up this business so well and so quickly in just a sec. But look, when I was doing a little bit of research on you before bringing you onto the show, a website kept popping up. It was lazydork.com, which I know is now closed down or defunct. And there was also lazydork.com/radio. What's all that about?
Well, lazydork.com originally was a website that my wife and I made because my wife is a total movie buff. She's a huge movie freak. And she used to watch a lot of movies, and she watched a lot of very bad movies. So in order to – I was like, this is so dumb. Like, we're sitting here wasting our lives watching truly horrifically bad movies. I was like, we might as well do something with this knowledge. So what we started doing was we would watch these movies and notate every time something seemed to occur with high frequency. Like, for example, if people got in and out of cars a lot, or if they answered the phone a lot, or if somebody said Amy a lot, then you would make that a cue. And then – every time somebody would do that, it would be a cue to take a drink, and it was a movie drinking game. And we were the number one movie drinking game site in the world for like 10 years. But I shut it down because after a while I started – we had thousands of movies. I mean, every movie you could conceivably imagine, from children's films all the way up to, you know, to Scarface. We had a wonderful and beautiful – like a handcrafted drinking game too. It was amazing. But I got concerned like some idiot would get overly drunk playing one of my games and sue us. Even though I felt personally there was really no causation, like I felt – I was concerned that somebody would conceive of it. And I was like, I don't want to think of this first. If I can think of this, somebody else can think of it. So I shut it all down like a long time ago.
Was it monetized?
No, it wasn't monetized specifically because I wanted to avoid liability. But it ended up morphing because – I like thought that I could get more attention for the website if I did movie reviews, like online movie reviews. This is a long time ago. This is back in 2005, before YouTube, before anything. So I said to my wife, I said, find – this is how I talked to my wife. I said, Lauren, who was my girlfriend at the time, I was like, Lauren, I was like, go find me websites where I can put videos up and people will like watch them. And she was like, okay, Ricky. No, actually, I wanted a website where I could embed the video into lazydork.com. That I was like trying to do it in Flash and it looked like shit, so I don't want to do it anymore. So I was like, you got to get me a blah, blah, embed. She's like, okay. So she found me YouTube and she was like, you got to look at this website. It's so dumb. And I was like, what's so dumb? And she showed it to me. And there's like these 15-year-old girls who are talking into their webcams about nothing. They're talking about what they had for lunch. And they have like 27,000 views. And I said, you are telling me that 27,000 people have watched this girl talking about literally nothing? And my wife is like, apparently this is like a thing. And I was like, I was like going to throw up. I was like, no. I was like, no way. I was like, there's no chance that this is a conceivable thing and somebody is going to do this better than me. I refuse to accept it. So what I decided to do was I was at first going to do movie reviews, which we did for a long time very successfully. But what I ended up doing was I did a Hostel movie review for the movie Hostel, H-O-S-T-E-L, where if you look up Hostel movie Lazy Dork, you'll see it, my very first YouTube video, which was me recreating the movie Hostel because it is so horrifically bad that nobody should waste money watching it. So I just said, here's the 10-second version where I get my finger cut off and I vomit all over myself because that's literally the entire movie. So I put it up and I did like pretty well. And I was like, oh, snap. So are you still interested in the YouTube story? Should I keep going?
Yeah, let's finish this before we get onto photography because I know the listener's going to want to hear marketing from you because you sound like you're right. You've got your stuff together.
I just think of things in a very unique way. I've learned this about myself and I like it. So anyway, this is also actually marketing related. I'm sure there's marketing terms in here. So what I did was I started to look at who was truly popular, and they were all 18-year-old girls, all of them, okay? And I said, okay, so I have to find some way to latch on to one of these 18-year-old girls and, you know, siphon off their fame, you know, because I'm not going to make it on my own. At that time, what am I? I'm 38, and this was in 2006, so it was 10 years ago. Well, I was 28. I was young, but I thought I was so old, you know? So I was like, I'm too old. I'm never going to be accepted as a YouTube celebrity. I have to siphon off fame off of a truly famous person, i.e. an 18-year-old pretty girl. So I found a girl called Emelina. You may have heard of her. Have you heard of Emelina?
I haven't, no.
Emelina, well, she's old school. She was ultra famous in 2006. She was like this Australian 18-year-old vlogger back in the day. She was like El Numero Uno, right? So I made a video called Just Like Emelina where I rapped about how I wish I was more like Emelina, but I'm not because I'm like an overweight, you know, old guy, basically. And I will never be like Emelina, although that is my ultimate fantasy, which is to be online famous for being a girl, basically, was my rap. And YouTube, it was like a nascent website. I mean, it was like 10 people in a room. It was not what it is today. It was like ridiculous. I mean, it was completely new. So what they did was they said, okay, we're going to feature this. And they put me on the front page of YouTube and that video got like 200,000 views, like in one day.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
So I was like, boom. I was like, I'm famous. So so then we started pumping out videos and it was like great. I was on CNN. I was on Fox News. I was on the front page of the newspaper. Look on the AP News. Look up AP News Lazy Dork. There's a semi-flattering article about me.
Let's fast forward because you sound like you've had your fingers in a few different pies and you sort of know the way the world works. I can't imagine you had too much difficulty once your dad said you need to start charging for your photography. How did you make the leap from law to photography and get these bookings?
Okay, so my plan was this. I was miserable because I was a failing lawyer. I was like in a small, tiny, like 12 by 15 office, like subleasing from a semi-successful lawyer. I was like not enjoying it. So what I decided to do was – the thing that separates my situation from a lot of people's is that like I had mates – like I wasn't – you know, I wasn't killing it, but like I had a full-time job. You know, I could feed my family. So I was able to screw around a little bit. It wasn't like I was some college student that needed to make money today, you know? So like I was able to screw around a little bit, not to the point that I was able to, you know, just walk away from my job and figure it out for 2 years. But I had a little plan. Here was my little plan. I'd never done event photography. So what I did was I did like a Craigslist booking of a baby shower and I did a good job. So I was like, I had the confidence that I could do it. So I went out on Wedding Bee and I put out an ad that said, I will shoot your wedding for free for a full day. You know, no questions asked. And here's some pictures that I've taken.
So that was on Wedding Bee.
That was on Wedding Bee. Yes. And so I said, you know, free wedding photography for any bride that will take a chance on me. And the benefit that I had was that I did have a law office. Like, it wasn't super nice or anything, but I did have a lawyer's office. So what I did was when the bride and her husband wanted to meet with me, I had like a real business front. And they came in, they sat with me in my lawyer office. And we looked at, you know, the photos that I'd taken of children, babies, you know, families, stuff like that. And then I showed her the event photography. And she had $0 left. Like, she had spent all her money for the wedding. So like her dad was a photo enthusiast and her plan was to have her dad take the pictures. And this girl was a very physically appealing girl and so was her husband. And they were getting married in a very attractive location. Like it was going to be a sunset ceremony on the water, like at a beautiful place, you know? So it all kind of was kismet. And she was getting ready at a Ritz, like it was showtime, you know? And so I was like, yes, I will do it. So, you know, it was perfect. So I showed up on the day of, like idiotically wore suit shoes, like you know, dress shoes. And like I wore like a purple, like lavender dress shirt. And like within 5 minutes, the thing was literally see-through. Like you could see every chest hair on my body. It was disgusting. I was like openly apologizing. I was like, I am so sorry to everybody in this room, like that. And I couldn't walk for a week because my shoes were the wrong shoes. So I learned some lessons that day. But I got my portfolio. You know, I got the pictures. So then what I did was I took out a Google pay-per-click ad. And I said the biggest ridiculousness ever is when people tell new or starting photographers, which I am going to assume makes up 99.7% of your listening audience, this is the worst advice that somebody can give somebody. I'm not saying your listening audience doesn't know anything about photography. I don't know anything about your demographic. I'm just saying that most people who listen to photographer podcasts ask me what kind of gear I have. That's the only question I get. So here's what – you're going to edit this out, I know. So here's the thing.
No.
Here's the worst piece of advice that they give people who are just starting out or who are mid-range photographers is that you have to price – what you want to be considered your worth. Because sometimes that is not true. Sometimes that is not your actual worth. Sometimes you're pricing yourself above where the market will pay you and you're costing yourself valuable, extremely valuable experience. You have to consider experience to be exactly as valuable as money, if not more so, especially within the first 2 years of your profession. Now, let me explain to you the Ricky Stern method of fame and success. Are you ready? All right, check this out. First of all, numero uno. You always have to be significantly better than what you're charging. Always. The number one thing that you have to offer is value. I do not care about being luxury. I do not care about everybody perceiving me as El Numero Uno brand in Miami, although I am. I don't care about being the halo product. All I want to do is that every single bride that hires me is ecstatic to the point that leaving me a bad review is the last thing conceivable on her mind. That's my whole thing. I just don't want a bad review. That's it. So if you kill yourself and avoid the bad review, you're going to be completely fine. Now, remember, you have to charge less than what you're actually worth, because then everybody will be not just happy, they'll be evangelical for you. They will say, you're getting married? Okay, you have to hire Ricky Stern. I don't want to – stop talking. You have to hire Ricky Stern. You have to hire – that's what my brides tell people, because I am less expensive than my value. I am $7,000 less than the most expensive photographer in my market. And yet I am $15,000 better than the most expensive photographer in my market. There's a reason for that. That's why Ricky works every weekend.
How much do you charge for a wedding?
For 8 hours for just me is $3,500. And that has been raised every 6 months continuously through fear, through like sickening walls of fear. We have pushed through and raised our prices, me and my wife, every 6 months without fail. We started, and let me continue my story. Okay, I'm going to jump in and out of the Ricky Stern method of success and fame throughout the actual story, which is the method of success and fame. So,
but just before you do, Ricky, just so you're clear, the listener that you're talking to is more than likely already a professional photographer, already has a business and is already doing pretty well. They're looking for ways to advance their business to another level.
Okay, so I will talk to a wide spectrum of photographers who have an enormous amount of knowledge. And I have to say, I respect a host of a podcast or a radio show who will stand up for his audience and will stand up for his demographic and say, you know what? This show is for people who have already succeeded. These are smart people. I like that.
That's exactly who you're talking to. These guys you're talking to now, they will not be asking what camera you're using and which lens you use most on the day. They don't care about that. They want to know about getting bookings and making more money.
Okay, they're talking to the right person. Now, they're not going to like it because 3/4 of my advice is be cheap. But the other quarter, they're going to find very compelling. So anyway, here we go. So I took out a pay-per-click ad on Google. And this is back in the – everybody is ultra famous now as a wedding photographer. When I started out, wedding photography was just coming out of being like not a cool profession, you know? It was like just coming out of the age when it was like the guy who's been doing it for 40 years and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
So when I started out, I was very aggressive in my marketing because I was coming out of the attorney world. And in the attorney world, when you have a pay-per-click ad, it's $35 per click because you're competing against like animals, you know? So if you want to compete against those animals, you got to pay $35 a click to get your leads. And I used to have a tracker on my website, on my attorney website, and it would make me want to vomit all over myself because I was paying $35 for somebody to come look at the front page of my website and bounce within 10 seconds. And I was like, that was $35, you know?
Just so we're clear again, with these pay-per-click ads, you're talking about a Google AdWord ad. So someone searches Miami wedding photography, your ad shows up on the first page at the top, one of those top three little ad spaces.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. If you were paying for like $40 a click when you were doing, you know, criminal defense attorney Miami, you'd be at the top. So then I come into the photographer world. Down here especially, when I first started, what are we in, 2016? I started in 2011, in August of 2011. It was so soft. The market, man, you could not believe it. I mean, I was coming out of a market that was diamond hard. Like the attorney market was so established and so cutthroat. And like, I was like really naive and young and like an idiot. Like I wasn't going to play dirty. Like I wasn't going to like, you know, grease bondsmen and stuff like that. You know, it just wasn't going to be that way with me. But like I went into the photography world and it's like all lovey feely, like huggy dovey, you know, it's all like you go girl. And I'm just like, no. Like, it's not the way we're going to do things around here anymore, you know? So I was like, I went in and I did my market research. You know, I figured out what people were charging in the market. And I found out that people were charging around $3,000, like $2,500 to $3,000 for like 8 hours of coverage with like maybe an engagement session, you know? Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, you know, screw that. So I put out a pay-per-click ad that said like ultra budget photographer, like cheapest photographer in Miami, you know, that kind of stuff. That was my headline, you know? And then the thing was like, why pay when I'm better and cheaper? You know, like that was my ad. And it said like, you know, wedding day coverage. My two like cheapo packages where I had one for $700 where I would come and cover your wedding for 7 hours and you could pick 100 images out of my coverage, right? Number two was $1,150 for 7 hours and you get the images. I pick out like your best, however many images, edit them and give them to you, right? Mm-hmm. But we were like amateur hour back then because I was doing amateur hour stuff, like putting things in black and white, but not also including a color version because I know better, you know? Oh, this is a black and white moment. You're laughing. It's black and white. You don't need this in color. or like editing, and people are like burnt brown with vignette, and I'm like, oh, Ricky, you know, like these are people. I look back and I'm like, these are people's wedding pictures. Oh God, you know, like the moments are good, the photography is good, but the editing is just barf, you know.
How much were you paying per click back then for these ads? Do you remember?
It was nothing. It was nothing. It was, I couldn't believe my eyes. It was like 15 cents a click.
Okay. Today it would be a lot dearer.
It would be a little dearer. Yes. You're a dear also, but it would be a little dearer. Today would be like, I don't know. Maybe I'll do some market research. I don't know. But Google, the problem with Google, let me tell you, the thing is that back when I was charging $11.50 or when I was charging $1,500 or when I was charging $17.50, the Google bride could still afford me. But at this point, it would be a waste of money because somebody searching for Google for a Miami wedding photographer, it does not hire off Google. They don't have any money. Like the people that have 3,000 plus are hiring me off word of mouth or because, you know, Mindy's mother said you did a wonderful job. So now you're going to hire you. We hear you're the best. That's what he get. You know, I get my work now all word of mouth or in some from the not. That's it.
Okay. If you were to run another ad now, you wouldn't take the same approach. This is for a photographer that's starting out.
Oh, hell no. No, I'm no longer the budget photographer. That doesn't make sense anymore. I have photographers in the area who are openly angry at me for charging so little. $3,500 is considered like ridiculous for me to charge because it is. It is ridiculous. But I can guarantee you that I can deliver $3,500 worth of photography no matter what the conditions. If somebody hires me and their wedding is a D and I charge them $8,500, I'm going to be extremely uncomfortable knowing for a fact that the best conceivable photos are going to be C+ out of your wedding. Like it is not possible to elevate a D wedding to higher than B-. And if you're the greatest photographer on earth, which I am, you know, but like if somebody gives me a B wedding, I'll give you an A+ every time. And if you give me an A, I'll give you like ridiculous, extraordinary, you know, but I have to have something to work with. And if I'm charging everybody across the board $8,500 or $10,000, then I have to deliver every time or I don't sleep at night, you know.
But why not charge $8,500, do less weddings and just shoot the A weddings?
Because honestly, like when I was a lawyer, I weighed 240 pounds. Right now I weigh 206. And the only reason is because I'm killing myself at these weddings every weekend. If I don't book, I get fat. So I like to work.
So you really, you want to keep your prices down. You feel comfortable where they are. You're staying busy. So you, this is the business model that works.
We always got chicken. Every single, until when we got to like 2000, we started to get real chicken. You know, the one thing that you cannot tolerate as a photographer, especially, which is something that is so extremely personal, is that you don't want the market to ever tell you, we do not want your product at the price that you are charging. You're not worth it. It's like super scary, you know? So you never want to go from 2000 to 2250 and suddenly you got bupkis. It's like, oh, I guess I'm not worth $2,250. I suck, you know? When I got up to $2,750, like the photography market just went kaputsky in Miami. It just died. I don't know what happened. From like for 5 months, I got zero inquiries. And I was certain that I had made a huge mistake. I was certain that from $2,500 to $2,750, my market had dried up and I was going to go broke and that was that, you know? But then I was, you know, you get all needy and miserable. So you start reaching out to like your photographer friends and like bringing up light conversation and you segue into like, so how's booking, you know? And they're like, oh, you know, it's not so good. And I'm like, oh my God, I haven't booked in 6 months. And they're like, I can't afford to eat. And I'm like, grandma's got to go without her medication this month, you know? So like it gets to that point. And then you feel better, you know, and you've already booked like two or three at $2,750. So it's not fair to those brides to change your price back because then you have to give them their money back, right? So then it's like you got to stay there and then a couple more book and then you feel better. And then the 6 months come by and you have like the long talker with your wife and you go to 3,000 and then you book at 3,000. So now at 3,250, you book at 3,250 and then at 3,500. So now the problem is that I feel super comfortable at 3,500. And the problem is not so much that I won't book because I have now proven to myself that regardless what I charge, I'm going to work every weekend. There is no problem with me. I will book no matter what I do, okay? I could charge $8,000, I will book every weekend, I'll figure it out. It'll work out, no problem. However, the problem is that the more expensive you get, the worse your clientele is, the worse the parents are, the worse the bride is. You know, they become less agreeable. So it's like you are spending all your time with these people. Don't you want it to be like the young, fun, like, you know, could barely afford you and you're her dream, like, you know, ultimate photographer? Like, isn't that a better Saturday? To me, it is.
For sure. Yeah, it is. When I read your reviews, and they certainly come up straight away on the first page of Google.
Booyah.
With the Knots and Wedding Wire, your brides are raving about you. What are you doing to get them to leave these reviews? Are you asking for them?
No, I don't ask for reviews.
Really?
Because I live by the credo that if you ask for something, sometimes you get it, and that's not good. So I don't ask for anything. I don't ask for anything from anybody except for like my assistants. I ask them to do their best. That's it. But I don't ask reviews. I feel like if a bride is going to want to say the things that I want her to say about me, she's going to be compelled to say them because I was that incredibly excellent on her wedding day. So she's going to be moved to do it. That's the bride I want to hear from. Okay. The bride on the other end of the spectrum, I'm not going to avoid either. It's the bride in the middle that, like, maybe was like, you know, she was happy, but, like, didn't think that I was, like, all that appropriate, or, like, you know, didn't, like, love the way I talked to her aunt for that one, you know, photo, like, and leaves me a 4-star review. And I went out and asked her for it. That's my own fault. And I don't ever want to blame myself for ruining my own life.
Mm-hmm. You just do what you do on the day, and these reviews come.
Yes, they arrive. However, the more expensive the bride is, the less likely she is to leave you a review. Because the more expensive bride has done much less research online, so has less of a connection to the online community. So she doesn't give a crap. It's the cheaper bride. If you want lots of reviews, start out working cheap like I did and work your way up slowly. Let me explain to you why. This is like the basic economic principle upon which Ricky Stern Photography was founded. Because my father was right. Photography is a terrible career. He told me to do it, but it's a horrible career.
Why?
Well, if you do it the way I do it, there is no growth possible. I cannot grow past what I'm currently doing because I'm shooting 50 weddings a year and I don't have any more weekends left in me. You know, like, I'm good with 45 to 50 to 55 is like perfecto. You know, I'm happy with that.
Yes, in my head, I think straight away, well, why don't you put on an associate shooter, teach them to shoot like you, and bang, you got double the weddings or double the weekends.
This is the thing. This is what I explained to my father, is that the reason that my reviews are what they are is because I am me and I do not walk into the wedding as vendor. I am not photographer and then work my way into it. I show up as Ricky Stern. What you have on the radio is what the bride has in her room. It is what my wife has on a daily basis. It is just me, okay? So you show up and I shoot and I just interact with people and I talk to people. I get to know them. Like, I make them laugh. I'm funny. I'm engaging, you know? Like, I get to know people. I know everybody's name before I leave the getting ready room. That's a rule. Every bridesmaid, I know all their names because I'm genuinely interested in meeting people. I've always been, like, kind of a shut-in. So, like, now that I'm out in the world, I, like, want to be on the world, you know? I, like, enjoy it. So I get those reviews because I get to know people on a personal level. Like, I really get to know them. And that's very positive for my photography as well, because people ask me what my style is. And I tell them my style is whatever your style is on the day of the wedding. Like, whatever you are, I am. You know, I adapt to whatever the wedding is. They're not my photos. I'm not going to tell you what they're going to be. You're going to tell me what they're going to be. And then I will turn myself into whatever the style of your wedding currently is. That kind of thing. Like, if you're having a very elegant wedding, I will shoot it, like, elegant, clean, like, airy, light, beautiful, like, cash, you know? But then if it degenerates into, like, a drunken, like, you know, stupidity fest, like, I will be the stupidest one. You know, like, I'll rile them up beyond belief. And by that point, they love me. So it's like, oh, it's good to go.
Is this a conversation that you have, you know, when they're coming to book you?
It depends. It depends on the bride. If I can gauge that she can handle this level of Ricky, I give it to her. You know, like, if she can handle, like, I must be compelling to podcast audience level of personality, then I love the bride, you know? But some brides come with their mother, and you have to tone it down a little bit and give them a little bit more of a professional air. But then on the wedding day, like, the train left the station and it's on. Like, we're going to go, you know? And everybody loves the energy. It's fun. It's fun for me, too. If you don't engage, this is a very dull job, man. You know, like, if you're just sitting and shooting pictures and not talking to people and you don't know who it is you're taking pictures of, it's just a light reflecting on flesh. Like, you might as well be a butcher. Who cares?
I love it.
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
Terrible, mate. Have you ever had an embarrassing moment or a stuff up apart from missing the entrance of the groom at that wedding?
Oh, actually, I do. I actually have my I was talking to my wife the other day because I have a video. I begged the videographer for the clip of this back in the day because I wanted to show my wife because I knew she would die. She would, like, love it. She would be think it was the funniest thing in the world. I was shooting a wedding once, and, like, when I first started, I was very active during the first dance because I don't know. I thought it looked cool, or, like, I thought I was cool. I don't even know what. But, like, I would move around a lot, like, shoot into my externals, like, try to get flare, like, I don't know, whatever. So I moved around a lot. And what happened when I would, like, shoot and move. And I would get up. And this one wedding, I stood up and, like, the dance floor had not been laid down professionally. So my toe got caught, like, on the lip of the dance floor. So what ended up happening was I ended up just, like, eating it really hard. Like, I went down really bad, like, during the first dance. And I ended up, like collapsing into a couple, like, this pregnant girl. Like, I fell directly into this poor pregnant girl. And, like, her husband's helping me up. And, like, I'm a huge distraction. So I thought it was the greatest thing ever. And, like, I actually – whenever I fall, I'm very good at rolling – in such a way that I take the impact on my cameras. And, like, I was very proud of myself in the video. Like, it's apparent that I turn and save my cameras during my fall and fall directly into the pregnant girl. And, you know, I prioritize correct. Oh, boy. I've got multiple. I actually have the video. If you want to see the video, I'll send you the link.
Awesome. Mate, this has been a ton of fun, really, Ricky. So,
I got more. No, go ahead. What you got?
Well, you know what? Let me ask you this before we finish up. I got a sense of your personality from your website, but why aren't you using video? Like, why don't you put yourself out there more on your website so people get a better sense of your personality right away?
Because who cares? I mean, who am I? I'm nobody.
Yeah, but hang on, but isn't that why they book you? Because of your personality? Because you're upbeat and, you know, you're into the day and you're going to give it everything? I mean, I get that sense from you straight away. As soon as I start talking to you, you're excited.
No, because on your website, that's all extra. I mean, that's stuff that you get because you hired me, and that's great. You know, like, that's all super great and awesome. But you hire me for the photos. Like, if the pictures aren't there, you should not hire the person, no matter how amazingly awesome, funny, and great they are. And on my website, the first thing I want you to see is a great photo of a bride and a groom looking very happy and very clear with bold, colorful colors. And then the next picture, if you go to my website, you see it. It's boom, Morgan and Jeremy, beautiful couple, like shallow, green, gorgeous, crisp, you know? And then the next picture is I had a groomsman who had a bunch of condoms in the getting ready room. And he has like these Trojans, and I was like screwing around with the Trojans, you know? Like, obviously, you give me a packet of Trojans, I'm going to make jokes about the Trojans. So I like take out my 7200 and I'm like, let's shoot safe, stuff like that, you know? So we go out, I was like, bring these later. Like, I want these condoms. So then we're on the beach and I'm doing like a standard bridal party photo. And I'm like, yo, bro, you got those condoms? And he's like, I got them, bro. I'm like, just throw them at the camera. So like, I set up, I get low, like wide, I have the couple kiss. And then I'm like, everybody go like, you're so shocked, you know? So the whole bridal party does it. And then I'm like, throw them. And he throws them like, duh. And like, it turns out that I get one really good one. And then it's like a beautiful, bright, colorful, in focus photo where everybody looks great. And like, and it has Ricky Stern in it because the condoms are flying at the camera. Like, we don't need that shit no more. You know, like, I love it. It's perfect. It's perfect Ricky Stern. So that's why it's on the website. And then like the next pictures may show you like the fact that I'm the best in the world, like with flash on the fly. You know, like you'll see like an incredibly lit flash photo, or that I'm like very, I can use natural light, I can silhouette, whatever. I can do anything you need. That's why you hire me. I'm at weddings all the time where everything goes to hell and the conditions are impossible. And I say, I do not know what would have happened had you not hired me. Like, I am honestly baffled how somebody would have produced anything. And yet I'm producing the bomb. Like, but it's because you hired me. So I don't get it.
Are you pointing this out to, I mean, I get that sense. The way you explained your slideshow there on your homepage, I can see all that in all these images. I can see the brightness. I can see the silhouettes. I can see the use of flash. I can see the fun.
It's all selling. Everything that you see is selling. Scroll down.
Yeah. But do you have to point this out to the bride and groom, or do you think they get that when they see this?
No. They don't. The average person does not see anything in a photo.
That's right. They just see pretty pictures.
They don't see nothing. If you put a Facebook up of a like horrible silhouetted person against an ocean that they took on vacation, it'll be gorgeous, most amazing photo I've ever seen. You look beautiful. And you're like, oh my God, what? Like, are you literally, like, you literally can't see. Like, your ocular vision, like, it does not function. Like, what is wrong with you, you know? But like, they see my pictures and they just know they are better. They know that somehow in their brain, it gets them that these pictures are better. They are brighter. They are more fun. They are clearer. Like, they know they are just better. They don't know why. And I try to show them that they're better in every conceivable way. All you need to know is that they are better. And they are.
Easy. Wow. Mate, where is the best place for the listener to go and check out your work?
Well, I mean, go to my website, which is rickystern.com, which redirects to miamiphotographer.net for you Google freaks, keyword density freaks out there.
Do you think that makes a difference?
It used to. I don't know if it does anymore, but it used to. I bought it for $500, like on one of those like online options. I mean, auctions. And, you know, it was like $500 is worth to get miamiphotographer.net. And so, like, I'm still on the first page of Google or whatever. If you do Miami Wedding Photographer or whatever, I'm still there.
That's what comes up. It comes up miamiphotographer.net, not rickystern.com.
Right. I just do rickystern.com because people don't understand .net. So I say rickystern.com and then it redirects. No big deal. Or you can like me on Facebook. My Facebook is good because I post weddings all the time. They're real weddings. So you like know that these were taken under actual conditions, not like I'm a fake stupid photographer conditions. And I like comment a lot on them. Like, I talk about, you know, like what the situation was, why this picture is special, why I'm so great, stuff like that.
Right. This has been a ton of fun. I'll add links to anything and everything that you mentioned in the show notes to go with this, plus some examples of the photos that you talked about as well.
It was a true pleasure. If you ever have air to space, you know that I have air to fill.
Cheers, mate. It's been a pleasure. All righty. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Ricky Stern. Ricky, if you're listening, mate, thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for being so open and sharing your views, your thoughts, your ideas, and exactly how you run your business, mate. It was enlightening and it was different to what I've heard from other guests in the past. So very, very cool. One thing I am looking forward to is watching your weight. It sounds like it's falling off you at a rate of knots, mate. And if you keep your prices where they are and working as hard as you are, you will be an even thinner Ricky Stern when I come and talk to you again next time. For you, the listener, I hope you got as much enjoyment out of Ricky's interview as I did. I really would love to hear your views, your thoughts on what Ricky had to share. You know, does his business model, does it suit you? Is it something that you could use in your business? Like, do you feel the same as me that it went against what you hear from most other photographers that are teaching or telling other people how to succeed? Was there anything that he said that you thought, yeah, I'm going to use that in my business. I'm going to try that out and see how that works. So if there was, leave me a note, leave me a comment in the show notes, photobizx.com/185. In those show notes, you'll find links to anything and everything that Ricky talked about in the interview. You'll find some examples of his work that we were talking about. And at the very bottom of those show notes, you'll find the comments area. So leave your feedback, leave your thoughts. If you just want to say thanks to Ricky for coming on the show, I know he'd love that as well. Alrighty, no big announcements for the end of today's show, so that is going to wrap things up. I am about to head off with Linda to see our travel agent. If you know anything about me at all, I love my holidays. And anytime I return from a holiday, I absolutely need to have another holiday already booked. I do have that. That's already in the bag. So I'm planning another holiday even further out. And Linda and I are tossing up between Sri Lanka and India. We were 100% committed to that idea of spending a few weeks in Sri Lanka and then heading over to the south of India to see a bit more of that country. We absolutely loved our time there last year. But Cuba has been thrown into the mix. It's a little bit more expensive to get there, but I think the photo opportunities, the culture, and the experiences there before it changes too much, I think would be fantastic. So yeah, I don't know if you've been to one of those places or both of those places, then by all means, get in touch. Let me know. Give me your thoughts and feedback. I've seen photos from both places. They both appeal to me. I think the weather would be great in both. We're undecided. So yeah, if you can help, let me know. And am I the only one that feels the same way about holidays? It's been a part of me since, I think since I started work. You know, I just wanted to always be working towards something, a trip, a holiday to somewhere. And I absolutely love coming back from one, knowing there's another one on the horizon somewhere. Yeah, I don't know if that's a quirky, weird thing or if that's totally normal. All right, that's enough rambling for me. Have an awesome week and I'll chat to you soon. Oh, I forgot to mention, I released an episode of the Photography Experiment podcast last week with Parker J. Pfister. If you don't know Parker and his work, go and check out his website. I've got links to it in the show notes. He is an incredible photographer. He's a fine art photographer. He shoots a lot for himself, but he also shoots weddings to help finance his personal work. He doesn't really consider himself a wedding photographer, even though his work is gorgeous. His clients love him. The wedding photography really seems to be there to finance his fine artwork and to allow him to shoot what he wants. The way he finds his models is very, very cool. He shoots a lot of nudes and most of them are people just off the street. Yeah, just incredible. Have a listen if you haven't heard that one yet. It's photobizx.com/TPX10. Or if you search for The Photography Experiment inside your podcast app, you'll find the show there and you can subscribe in the app and get the podcast delivered automatically each week. And you can also find it over at the photobizx.com website if that's where you like to listen. All right, that is it. Have an awesome week and I'll chat to you soon. Bye for now.
Enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.